Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we get back to our issue today, the issue is, should Christians, should churches talk about political issues? And I'm talking about political issues being spoken about and addressed, dealt with from the pulpit in the churches. Perhaps you've got ideas and thoughts and suggestions. Perhaps you disagree with my position. Or if you have a biblical example that will tell me why I'm wrong in the position that I'm taking, love to hear from you. The telephone number is 831-0917. But before we get back to that, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, this Sunday, the 15th of May, at 10 o'clock at First Conservative Baptist Church, we'll have the privilege of worshiping and hearing some good gospel music. Mark 5 Quartet will be with us in concert. Listen for just a moment at a sample of some of the great gospel music that you'll hear this Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just a good sample of the wonderful gospel music that we'll hear this Sunday. The Mark 5 Quartet will be in concert with us at First Conservative Baptist Church. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 1 mile south of I-295. We cordially invite you to be our special guest this Sunday morning. 10 o'clock, the services start. We start with the concert with the Mark 5 Quartet. Following that, there will be a pulpit message as we continue our pulpit preaching. I'm looking forward to it. It won't be out of that rock and roll that you normally will hear in so many of the modern churches today. It's good gospel music that tunes the heart into the Word of God that will allow us to worship the Lord and praise Him and recognize that He is God, that He is Creator, Controller. So let me invite you to come be with us this Sunday morning, First Conservative Baptist Church, 10 o'clock, May 15th. Looking forward to it. And by the way, services start at 10. Limited seating in our for our congregation. So I would suggest that if you're going to be here, get here a little bit early. We'd love to have you for that special program this Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today. Should churches be allowed to talk about political issues? Some people say no. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, many people today, even as pastors, go back to 1958, the Lyndon Baines Johnson as a senator. Lyndon Baines Johnson hated churches. He hated religion. He hated the Catholic Church. And so on a transportation bill, he added a rider. The rider, which is now called the 501c3 rule for the IRS, that rider says that churches, that pastors, cannot talk about political issues. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I still have a constitution. My constitution says that I have the religious liberty and the freedom of speech. When I stand in the pulpit, it is not truncated. My religious liberty and freedom of speech is not violated. It is not in any way to be destroyed. But by even at that, ladies and gentlemen, since that act went into place to be carried out by the IRS, listen carefully, there's never been never been a single church prosecuted on that false, phony, fake, unconstitutional rule. And at the same time, I need to tell you, in May of 2017, President Donald J. Trump, by executive order, canceled the Johnson Amendment ruling. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't go back and try to do something today on the left if they choose to do so. But every political campaign, you find that the liberals, the loose likes, lost liberals, the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, Democratic Party, they have no problem going in churches and stumping for the candidate or talking about what candidate churches should vote for. But they are all uptight if a conservative Christian were to do the same thing. But we have the right, we have the liberty. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to things like the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, when it comes to any of the issues that are now called political issues, they're first and foremost spiritual, biblical issues. So I would say to you that today there's the mindset of pastors that says you cannot talk about it, but that's not the mindset, Pastor, of yesteryear.
Amen.
Pastors of the 17th, 18th, and even into the mid-19th century would openly call sin, sin. They would identify the enemies of the church. They would preach against that which is unethical, that which is immoral, that which is ungodly, that which is unlawful practices like murder and lying by politicians and gambling and even preaching against the praying in the open political meetings, would stand against it. But we find today, they're afraid to. In fact, you can go back to the scripture, Pastor. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Pastor Davis from up at Folkestone. We have the joy just about each Friday to have this kind of conversation and dialogue on issues that I believe are pertinent and are important for us to hear from a Christian perspective. And so I pray that you will continue to pray for us as we do this, that you would be willing to call in, ask questions, give your two cents worth.
Amen.
But
amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to things like that are immoral, ungodly, unlawful practices, those that are unethical, like murder and lying that's carried out by the politicians, gambling, even preaching against not praying, allowing us to pray openly in Jesus' name. Right now, most political meetings, you cannot, if they invite a preacher to stand and preach, he is forbidden by the rules and the regulations, not by Constitution, forbidden to pray in Jesus' name. And I find that offensive, Pastor Davis.
Amen.
I find that counterintuitive. I find that in absolute diametric opposition of what the Word of God says. When we pray, when we stand, we need to do so in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Today, pulpits are in a dearth with the pews, for the most part, empty because there's no depth and because they're refusing to preach against sin. Joel Osteen, for example, you'll not hear him say that if you sin, you're going to die and go to hell. You'll not find Rick Warren saying anything about the political issues that we're faced with today. You'll not find Joel Osteen standing and say homosexuality is a sin. You're going to go to hell if you practice it. You'll not find Joel Osteen and Rick Warren saying anything about the murder by way of abortion. You'll not hear either one of those talk about the transsexual, the homosexual, and the fluid gender mess that's going on in society today. All of those are considered political issues, but they are first and foremost biblical issues.
Amen, amen, amen. And Dr. Youngblood, as you said, it's clear. We need to know and understand that being LGBTQ is not a civil right.
That's right.
It is a moral choice.
Yes.
When you read the scripture say God made them male and female.
Amen.
There's nothing in between.
God didn't create
There's
a
nothing
shim.
Mixed with that.
That's right.
In fact, my wife and I were talking, I believe it was on yesterday, and she was sharing a message with me that she heard another preacher preach at another church when they said that when God took the rib out of Adam and made the woman, he took the woman out of the man. Mm. So where does that woman, that feminine characteristic, mm-hmm. where does that come from mm-hmm. to make them feel like they ought to still feel or be like a woman mm-hmm. when God took the woman out of the man? Mm-hmm. Now, just generally speaking, looking at that in a broad sense, it makes a lot of sense. But we also know that he took that rib and made, or when we look at other portions of study, it said that he built the woman.
Mm-hmm. Created the woman. Mm-hmm.
So she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.
Well, you know, some say that when Adam called her woman, he's really saying, whoa, man, when he saw what God had created.
Amen.
But you're exactly right. And God didn't make a mistake. God didn't create Adam and Sam. He created Adam and Eve.
Amen.
He didn't create a mistake. And yet we have today somehow, some way, an admixture to the Word of God. And therefore, most pastors are unwilling to stand and preach against the Sodomite lifestyle and what is taking place today in our society.
Amen.
So just what is political today? What is considered political? In today's society, with the what I call the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, anything or everything that speaks about morality, speaks about ethics, speaks about truth is now considered political. That's the reason, Pastor and ladies
Amen.
And gentlemen, that the Biden administration now set up a board of truth, a ministry of truth, a disinformation board. And it's simply because, ladies and gentlemen, we're finding a greater and greater encroachment on our religious liberties and our freedom of speech, and it's going to be even greater in the future. It will reach its long arm into the church as a result of the disinformation board, where you've got a board of people, board of unelected, a board of those that are simply the loose, likes, lost liberals on the left, those that are hate America, those that embrace everything that's immoral and ungodly, sitting on that board that's going to be the arbiters of truth that will tell us what is truth. You will find in the days, weeks, and months to come, as long as God continues to allow the theft of the Oval Office, Joe Biden, to be in position, we're going to find a greater and greater restriction on our rights as Christian citizens in America.
Amen.
And the
Amen.
Truth Ministry, the Truth Board, the Disinformation Board that's been set up is going to reach its long arm into the church, ladies and gentlemen. The Sodomite lifestyle, LGBTQIP, whatever you want to add to that, agenda is moral. It's a biblical issue, not a political issue until now.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the dividing of the nation and the family with the critical race theory is a biblical issue. It is not a political issue until now. We find today, ladies and gentlemen, that we vote for and who we elect, we vote for and those that we elect and put in office, we do so based on their stand for ethical truth and for moral judiciary positions. In fact, in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place over such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers
Amen.
Of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens.
Amen.
That gives the concept of what we should do and who we should put in office.
And that goes back to what we said a little bit earlier, Dr. Youngblood, that God put the law in capable hands of those who should be administering
yes.
justice among his people, but they had to be God-fearing people.
Absolutely.
And when we go to the book of Acts, you see, I told you God had it right in the first beginning.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at Acts chapter 6, the one that we use in the selection of deacons for the church,
yes,
they had to be men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. Notice wisdom didn't come before the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He said they had to be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom that we could set over these affairs.
Yes.
So this is why we say when we look at the biblical example, God has already got it right there in place for the church to know
absolutely
how these things should be administered. But what we are doing today is not pleasing in the sight of God.
That's right.
Because we are still sitting on the stool of do nothing. And when it comes down to things not being done right, we're complaining. And I had to tell someone the other day when they started talking about Biden and Trump and all the ones that we've had as presidents in the office that they were not pleased with. I said, listen, if you are not doing like the book of 1 Timothy 2 said, it said we should pray for those who are in authority
mm-hmm.
that we would be able to live a quiet and a peaceable life.
That's right.
So if you're not praying for them, you're not doing your job.
Right. And sometimes we need to pray, Lord, remove them.
Amen. That's Amen.
Why. Go back to the Psalms and find what David said. David said over and over and over again about his enemies.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, what we're saying is, let me just boil it down for a little narrower focus. The biblical concept is that we live in the kingdom of God. That's talking about the kingdom is the word basileion. It's the rule and the reign of God. this is God's kingdom, this is God's universe, this is God's world, and it's God's word that addresses every aspect of the world each and every day.
Amen.
I'm looking at an article, Pastor, that says, should the church get involved in social issues and causes? It's about a three-page article. It drops down to about the second paragraph. It says, Christians should be exemplary in their conduct regarding the laws of the land, choosing to disobey only the laws and the rules that directly contradict the written, revealed word of God. Abortion, for example, may be an abomination, but no one is forced to the government to have an abortion. And in the case of China, the Chinese Christians who defied the law and refused to have an abortion are disobeying the biblical commands, choose life, Deuteronomy 30:19, and you shall not murder. And it goes back to the Ten Commandments and also found in Romans 13:9, thereby obeying the word of God rather than the rules and the regulations and the laws of man. And then, Pastor, I'm looking at another article that says, should your pastor talk about politics? Here's where the rubber hits the road, ladies and gentlemen. This article has a subheading. Politics is an inseparable part of life in the world today.
Amen.
Politics
Amen.
Is an inseparable part of life. Goes on to say, politics is what happens between people when they try to get something done as they work together, according to the author of The Politics of Ministry, is said. The Bible, this article says, the Bible talks about all the time, this all the time. Here are just a few examples that this writer gives. I find it fascinating. When all the people spoke one language, communication was easy. They agreed to come together and build a tower to reach heaven and make a name for themselves, Genesis 11:4. God saw it and confused the language, and the people quit cooperating and scattered. Then we find, he says in this article, Pharaoh was afraid of the impossibilities of growing and thriving Hebrew population in Egypt, Exodus says. So he enslaved the Hebrew people. God responded, albeit a little significant late, but overwhelming Pharaoh and freeing Israel. Rehoboam was approached by an assembly of Israelites who spoke to him about lightening the load of the father that his father had placed on them, 1 Kings 12. Rehoboam sought the advice of his father's establishment, but didn't like what they said. He turned to a group of young, unspoiled men by the years in politics, who said to lighten the screws, that is, lighten the load.
Amen.
Rehoboam didn't, and Israel rebelled. It goes further to say, each of these biblical stories is a record of how people engaged in the needs and the interests and expectations and trust and ethics and fairness in real time. Talking about politics in the Bible, this writer says, the Bible includes accounts of how people dealt with politicians. The ancient prophets repeatedly chastised the national leaders and foretold of their doom. They didn't win many friends either, but that was what God said to do.
Amen.
John the Baptist and Jesus both called the religious leaders a brood of vipers, according to the scripture. Jesus regularly chastened Israel's religious leaders for being hypocrites, Matthew 23. Jesus called Herod the old fox,
Amen.
A reference to Herod's Amen. Unscrupulous and licentious lifestyle and living. This writer further says, furthermore, to strike politics off the list of things that the pastor can talk about begs the question, and what's next? This writer goes on to say, if you take what's called politics off the list of what a pastor or Christian people can speak of, what are they going to take off next? And ladies and gentlemen, we're on the fast track for that.
Amen.
Now the disinformation board, where the loose likes lost liberals, unelected socialist, Marxist, communist will decide on what you can say, what I can say, what churches can say. This article wraps up by saying pastors should talk about absolute talk about politics. To talk about politics, they will need to name some names, call some people, specify some policies. They need to talk about politics in casual conversation, talk about politics in prayer, talk about politics in meetings, in the Bible studies, and from the pulpit, talk about politics.
Amen.
End quote. And ladies and gentlemen, I am in total agreement with that particular writer's statement. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over the question or comment, please.
You know, we recently had a discussion with a gentleman, and at the end of the discussion, he landed on the, Greg, we just get truth from different places. And I would proffer that as a question for listeners today. Where do you get truth from? Is it objective truth or is it subjective truth? Does your truth change based on who's in the White House? Does your truth change based on what justices are in the Supreme Court? Or is your truth objective? Is it consistent? For the believer, truth is in the Word of God. It is in the Scripture. Yes. You're a patriot. But guess what? We have a very well-written document. It's only 4 pages long. It's called the Constitution of the United States. Very well-written document. And for every public office holder, they're required to swear an oath to support, protect, and defend that document, the Constitution. And if from a public policy standpoint, you have to be lured to the Christian to the Bible first, but run everything through the filter of that Constitution. For everything that comes through your life, you ought to run it through the filter of the Scripture. And literally, that takes away about 99.5% of the gray areas, the subjectivity. But Jesus actually clarified this position. Now, keep in mind, God is overall, but those Ten Commandments, half of them dealt with your relationship with God, and the other half, yes, your relationship with your fellow man. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, when he was asked, what's the greatest law? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. The second is likened to the first, love your neighbor as yourself. And guess what? If you do those two, you will be keeping the whole of the law. He said, on these two hang the whole law. Mm-hmm. So, you know, throw out the complicated, introduce the simple, and then you have an articulate position. You have the objective reality of truth. Now, we spent a long time discussing in a law class, what is truth? What is truth? By the way, you get a lot of different answers when you ask that question.
That's right.
At the end of the day, the conclusion was truth is fidelity to the original, mm-hmm, sticking to the original. For the believer, that is faith in Jesus Christ. That is the Word of God. That is the Bible. All right? And for any time you have the legal question, the civil, secular, legal question for the believer residing in the United States, run it through the filter of the Constitution. Go, does it make sense? Does it fit? Is there a nexus between this rule and the law and between the law and the governing authority, the Constitution for the state, and the governing authority overall, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States? Very simple then. But because we've left this objective standard, you have people confused over sex and gender. I mean, come on. Are there other nations around the world that are so confused as we are? I mean, instead of the simple, hey, there are boys and there are girls. We've got 72 other genders that they've come up with because of psychology and psychiatry textbooks. That's not hard science. That's a mushy thing. If it's 73, 74, 75 next week, don't be surprised, folks, because objective truth has been thrown out for this subjective tripe.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917. Pastor Davis, how do you respond to some of the statements that Greg has made?
Well, one thing in particular that ran across my mind, and thank you so much for that, Brother Greg, the intelligent person that was selected just recently to fill the office in the Supreme Court, mm-hmm, was asked a question, how do you identify a woman? And she said she don't know how to describe that because she was not a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that was the wrong answer, absolutely, Dr. Youngblood, because one counter question should have been asked. And I believe if I was there, I would have liked to be the one to ask
yes,
that
absolutely
question. Then tell me this. Who was the law made for, the Roe versus Wade law? Who was that made for? Or in other words, who was that law supposed to benefit? Mm-hmm. Or what was the purpose of that law? That was supposed to give a woman, not a man, a woman the right to choose. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Am I right about that?
That's right.
That's what Roe versus Wade is based upon. So that question should have been asked to her. I mean, I might not be able to put it in such a simplistic form, I guess, to where, you know, it would actually penetrate or, you know, get to the core of, yes, her being to make her come up with, you know, the right answer, right, or the answer that I was looking for.
Well, she was avoiding truth.
Roe versus Wade was based upon a woman's right to choose. So tell me, who was that law made for? Was it made for a male, a female, a man, or a woman?
Absolutely.
So for me, I mean,
very simple.
I just couldn't understand where she got that.
Evading the reality, and it was evading the truth of the Word of God.
That simply puzzled me.
Greg, the bottom line is, and I am hearing all that you're articulating, and it is correct, As Ezekiel 33:10 says, how should we then live? Based on what we know, what we've articulated in the broadcast today, how should Christians, Christian church members, i.e. Christians in general, and pastors, how should we then live? Should we be silent? Should we just sit back? Jesus dealt with the political issues very forcefully, very directly. Joseph was involved in the political issues. Daniel was involved in the political issues. Paul was involved with the political issues. Peter was involved with the political issues. And yet, if we do not have a biblical worldview, we do not understand that it includes all of the political issues, that recognizes that God is the creator, controller of the universe, and we should be submitting to him and his lordship in our lives. What are your thoughts? What are your statements? How should we then live?
Look at our roots. Look at our foundation as a nation. The Declaration of Independence was the first, if you will, of our great founding documents, Constitution, and the Declaration of the Constitution is what we rely upon. That's the bedrock, if you will. And those are based on the bedrock of the truth of the Word of God. In the Constitution, you have a 33-count indictment against King George, 33 specific things he had done wrong. Guess what? Those 33 things were not made up. They were not new. They were not off the cuff. These are things that were long-term issues, and the Black Robe Regiment, the pastors of that day, had preached sermons on nearly every one of the 33 things that King George was doing wrong. And those were articulated clearly in the Constitution, and then the words were added beyond which, at the end of that, it says, in every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms, and our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. That's the position we can stand on as believers in America today. Our rights do not dissipate because we are believers, because we are Christians. We still have our rights as citizens in the United States, and we need to realize from whence our truth comes. And the scripture says in John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. That is the bedrock. That is the foundation for every believer wherever you are.
Absolutely. And I'll do a footnote to that, Pastor, if you'll allow me. I'm looking at an article that says four reasons Christians should care about politics. This article says a frequently raised question against Christian engagement with politics is that anything besides explicitly preaching and teaching the Bible is a distraction from the mission of the church. However, this is a limited understanding of the kingdom of God and contrary to all examples found in the scripture. The Christian worldview, this article says, provides a comprehensive understanding of reality. Every area of life, including political engagement, is to be spoken of by the pastor and by the Christians in the church.
Amen.
End quote.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you have found this to be insightful and you have found it to be a carefully presented program that will give you encouragement and hope. Ask your pastor Sunday, why isn't he saying something about the political mess in America and talking about those that are in office and what we should do? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Blood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.